Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. It's I don't know if I could call it a bit of a homecoming. It's been 21 years since we moved from here. So I see some familiar faces, but some that I have no clue where you come from or whatever, but that's okay. We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. So as you see, if you would have looked on your ministerial list, Pastor Jay Weeb was scheduled to be here, but he has taken a bit of a sabbatical till the end of April, and so at the last ministerial meeting, it was decided that I would fill in for him. He was scheduled here today. So I want to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Where Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." How often do we think of that? Maybe we hear this almost every Sunday morning. Maybe, you know, I at least have heard it, I think, all my life. And yet, okay, well, that's just opening. But do we think of the grace that God has provided for us to even just be here? If we think of all the events that are going on in the world, then we can be very thankful that we can be here today. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." This verse 4 is often used at a funeral. My message is not, it's not a funeral, but my theme for today is fear versus faith. And so we want to look in God's Word, how we can deal with that. Fear has always been. Have you ever thought of it? What happened? One of the first things that happened as a result of sin, it was fear. When God came to the garden and he looked for Adam and Eve and they had eaten from the forbidden fruit, and he said, "Adam, where are you?" And he says, "We hid because we're naked and we were afraid." So this is not a new thing. This is from right from the beginning, but we have ways we can deal with it. So with that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your abundant grace and mercy that you have for us sinful people. You loved us so much, Lord, that you are willing to sacrifice your Son Jesus for our sins, that we could be free, that we could live more abundantly through your grace. But we need to have faith. So Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our faith as we look into your word this morning. May we be blessed and uplifted, and may we praise you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I have some songs now.
In the blue hymnal number 517, "What a Friend." You're welcome to stand. Number 166, The Love of God. Number 491, Shall We Gather?
Where bright angels meet.
Thank you for that heartily singing. It's very good, and a beautiful way to lead into the message. Right, the first song where we have a very familiar song of what a friend we have in Jesus. So as I was preparing for this message, and actually I had the English part I had kind of prepared, I had been asked to take Jay Weeb's part, place in our home church on February 20th, but we had a big storm and it was canceled there. But anyway, I looked in the concordance and there's several meanings of fear, depending on in the Bible which references are used. And I'm not good at Greek or Hebrew, so I'll just explain the meanings that were there. I won't try to pronounce the words. But one of them is to be afraid or to be alarmed. This is probably a fear that we can't do much about. Something happens and we're afraid or we're alarmed. What fear usually does is it turns into stress. We worry. Sometimes worrying, most of the times worry doesn't help us very much. If I would just relate a quick story of what happened this last fall, which would be an alarming fear maybe. We have a straw baling business. So we've done this for 22 years. I've had several baler fires, but none that we've always managed to stop them before they completely burn. But on this day, that was not the case. One of my workers phoned me, says the baler is on fire. And of course, that's an alarm, right? But I was 30 miles away baling in a different field. And so it's interesting how God, you know, when you're not right there, I think you can maybe think more clearly than if you're right there. You're just gripped with fear, what's going to happen. So I asked him, did you unhook the tractor? He says, no. I said, unhook the tractor. Did you call 911? He says, no. Okay. I said, unhook the tractor, phone 911. Because I wasn't there, if I was there, I probably would have reacted differently, right? But that's how it works. And the amazing... The amazing thing was, I mean, they were combining on that field, and so the fire was spreading quite quickly, and by the end of the situation, there was 3 fire departments out there. There was a neighboring farmer that saw what was going on, came there with his truck. He had a water tank on his back of the trailer behind his truck, and I had a mechanic out to that field to fix a tractor, and he's a fireman from Neltona. So he jumps in the back of this trailer, and so they got it all under control in short order. So what I'm trying to say is, what is our part? When somebody has fear or something has happened, right? We as a body of believers, we can pitch in. When we hear about it, we can do our part, whatever God puts on our heart. And so there was just a physical demonstration of how that can work. Another kind of fear is being anxious. This would be more of what's in our thought, not something that physically happens, but something that maybe has happened to us or others, or something that we're scared of might happen. And Satan loves that one, because he can keep us occupied with that for a long time. It's kind of like when you sit on a rocking chair and you rock and you rock and you rock, but you don't get anywhere. And that's how Satan likes to keep us in that frame of mind, so that we don't get anywhere spiritually. That he can control us, and he doesn't like us to be happy. In John 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." Satan wants to rob us of this abundant life, and he does it a lot through what we think. He really uses that. And so for us in different stages of life, we probably have different worries, anxiety, stress. As when we're a small child, not worried about too much. So I think it's for that reason when Jesus said, except you come as little children, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We need to humble ourselves. We need to cast our cares upon him, as it talks about in 1 Peter. That he can care for us, as he says, for he cares for us. So, and then there's also the fear of man, and then the fear of God. The fear of God, we would say, is a healthy fear, right? We respect our Heavenly Father. So it's not that we're trembling in fear, but the word fear is often used in the Bible, but you could say the word respect when it comes to God and his word and how he loves us. Proverbs 29:25. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. So let's turn our Bibles to Genesis 12, and we have an example of how that happened. Now, when Abram and Sarah, they still didn't have any, they hadn't had any children, and they were, God told them they had to go to Egypt because of a famine. It's kind of interesting how Egypt is so much part of the Old Testament, because when Joseph's time, there's also a famine, right? And the people had to come to Egypt, the Hebrew people, to get food. And so, but here, it says there was a famine. If we start in verse 10 in Genesis 12, and there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, he said to Sarai, at that time she was still called Sarai, his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, if it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is his wife, and they shall kill me, and they will save thee alive. So my understanding is the culture at that time, which is we can't really understand to this day, but if a man saw a pretty woman and it was somebody else's wife, well, you killed the man, and then he took that woman to his wife. It's something we can't comprehend. But anyways, this was after God told Abraham that he would have a children, and that he promised Abraham what all would come after him and how many people would be related to him. So we see Abraham didn't have faith here. He says to his wife that she's supposed to lie. Now, it wasn't maybe not a big black lie, it was a little white one, because she was his half-sister, but she was still his wife. I pray thee that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me, and for my sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. So if she said he was his sister, if she said that she was his sister, then the Egyptian, whoever wanted her as wife, could take her, but he wouldn't kill him. That's what he was thinking. So how do we sometimes maybe tell not quite the truth to maybe try and save face? See, it says, like I just read in Proverbs, the fear of man bringeth a snare. So if we're scared of something, maybe we'll try and cover it up by maybe not saying the truth. But that brings a snare, just like it did here. And so the Pharaoh wasn't very happy with Abram because he took Sarah, but then all kinds of stuff started happening, plagues and whatnot. And so he realized something's going on. And so Pharaoh said to Abraham, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why sayest thou she is my sister, so I might have taken her to my wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go away. So why didn't he trust God in the first place? But we are like that. We take it upon ourselves. If we think of Daniel, the reverse was true, right? Nebuchadnezzar came with his army and they took the Hebrew people as prisoners, and they took them to their land, and they picked out some smart young men, the king or whatever you want to call him said to pick out some smart young men and then they should train them. Now, Daniel had proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat or with the wine. We read this in Daniel chapter 1. The Jews were told back already when they were traveling from Egypt, way back in the beginning of what we read in Genesis, Exodus, there was all kinds of laws that God gave them that they weren't supposed to eat certain meats, certain animals. Certain animals were to be used for offering and so on. And so they had all those rules that we don't have today. But it was before Jesus' time. And so Daniel had proposed in his heart that, and he would have known that this Nebuchadnezzar, where they went to Babylon, that they ate different food than they did. So he proposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself with the king's meat or wine, that he would break God's laws. So he had faith. He could have been really scared too. But he had faith. And so then Melzar, he was appointed to look after these young men that they had chosen from the Hebrews. They wanted to train them in their ways and that they would become wise in their land and help govern the land, because it says they would be princes. He tells them, well, this is the food, and they didn't eat it. And so he was afraid. Melzer was afraid. Because he says, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, this is 1 Daniel 1, verse 10. The prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse, lightening than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. So he was scared for his life. Because if these young men didn't eat what the others did, and they all of a sudden they were all thin and gaunty looking, you know, what would the king say? What's going on here? So he was scared. But Daniel says, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. So to me, that would be probably more of a vegetable diet, I'm guessing. Pulse would be vegetables. Today, pulse is beans and stuff like that, right? So he says, then let our countenance look down before thee and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and see that thou deal with thy servants. And so he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. So Daniel had all this faith in his God. He wasn't afraid. He said, prove us. See what happens. At the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which should eat the king's portion of the king's meat, which should eat the portion of the king's meat. So it says, then Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and give them pulse. So we can see the difference, what Abraham did and what Daniel did. And that's what God is talking to us today. Let's have faith. There's lots of things, there's lots of worry all around us. Now we have this Ukraine-Russian war and so on, and those are all things beyond our control. It says fear or worry seems to be all around us. It's oversized and rude, unwilling to share the heart with happiness. When we worry or are afraid, are we happy? No, we're worried. Sometimes we say we worry ourselves sick. That's true. Sometimes that happens. We can worry till we get sick. Fear is a big bully and does little good. Like I say, Satan likes to keep us in that frame of mind. Sometimes fear can keep us from danger. We have, when our children were small, we're on a farm, we're always on the lookout, we're always machinery driving around. The children needed to have a fear of that machinery and what it could do, right? So there is a place for fear. And that fear doesn't affect us emotionally or bring us down. That's a godly fear, a healthy fear. But the fear where we worry and and wonder and fret, how is this going to be? It doesn't cure any disease. It doesn't get us out of poverty. It doesn't help our marriage. Courage and faith do that. Daniel had courage. He said, try us. Give us pulse seed. Let's see what happens. And he had faith in his God. God was going to deliver them. Another saying is, fear herds us into prison and slams the door. We have a book at home I've read through a couple times, and I'm preparing this message, I pulled it down again. I hadn't read it for a couple years already. And it's a couple of men that write this book. One's a medical doctor and one's a counselor, and they're friends, and they're both Christians. And so in that book, they describe how they will send clients. Sometimes the counselor realizes, and he's counseling somebody, that this person also has some physical ailment that's bothering them, that's stressing them out. And he'll send them to the doctor, and the doctor will do the same thing to the counselor. And so we see that if we allow it to, we can be in this prison. It can just go round and round and round. We can be worried and anxious and about one thing, and then maybe that thing goes away and it actually made no difference what we worried about, or it didn't even happen. But then the next thing comes up. So when we worry, sometimes we start losing faith, right? With God, is God really going to help us through the situation? But what are we saying then? Are we saying God can't help us? Let's think about that a little bit. What are we actually saying when we're worrying about stuff? Just coming here today, you know, I have to admit, I started getting anxious about an hour before we left. That's how it works. But the Bible tells us that without him, we can do nothing, and so I can't do this. But it also tells us with him, all things are possible. And Apostle Paul tells us that in Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if there's something God wants us to do, he will give us the strength to do it. So worry is the same, that it doesn't change anything except the person that's worrying. So let's look at some things what to get over this. Another thing those writers said was, once we realize what the foe is Satan. Once we realize it's coming from him, we can deal with it victoriously through Jesus Christ, right? So for text words today, I had chosen Luke chapter 12, 22 to 32, and I won't have time to go on all the verses, but there's a few things I would like to highlight. I think that clock's going too fast. So I will read it and just quickly touch on a few things. And he said to his disciples, reading verse 22, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they eat neither. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add one stature to his stature, one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world speak after your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. I'm going to reread that. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. First of all, we see quite often it says, take no thought. In other words, don't worry. Don't worry. It doesn't mean that we just sit down and twiddle our thumbs and, yeah, we'll have food on the table and the mortgage will be paid and everything. That's not what it means. Reminds me of years ago, one of our pastors told a story of a pastor in their area, and it was west, quite a ways west of here, and it was a pastor started pastoring a small church, and it was a church where they paid the pastor. But it was not very many people, so he would actually need another job to sustain himself and his family. But he thought this is what it meant, and so no, it would all be okay. And he had job offer after job offer come his way, and he didn't take any of them. So, but God was providing, but he wasn't taking. So we have to think of it in the right way, in the contents. You know, if we apply somewhere and we get a job, God has provided. And so that's how why we're not supposed to fret about it, but pray about it and he will open the door. For all, it says in the last verse, it says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What is he saying here? What does he want to give us? What is the kingdom? Do we think of a kingdom as a palace somewhere? Or what is a kingdom? According to Jesus, he says, in Luke 17:21, he says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's in here. How does it get in here? What does it look like? Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what it is, and that's what it looks like. Where do we get it from? By humbling ourselves like a child, like Jesus said. Except you become as children. We need to trust. If we tell a small child, 4 or 5 years old, to do something or to say, this is what's going to happen, or you come with me and we're going to go do this, they're coming. They have no doubt at all. This is going to happen. That's how it is with our Heavenly Father. So let's not doubt. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Not in ourselves, but when we rejoice in the Lord, he says, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. James 5:7 says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waited for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So let's get grounded in his word. Let's hang on to his word. Let's grow in faith. We need to believe. Hebrews says without faith, it's impossible to please him. And yet, we just read, it is the Father's pleasure to give us the kingdom. He wants to give us peace and joy and righteousness. Righteousness is right standing with God. We receive that when we ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. We're made right with God. He wants to give us that. We have to do one thing. We have to believe it. And we have to make it real. For closing verses here, I would just like to share. Let's go on my right page. Here we go. You know, with all the trouble going on, I think at least some of our older folks, I'm older than I used to be. In 1982 was the year we planned to get married, and there was a lot of talk about Jesus coming back, and I thought, I want to get married first. You're young. That's how we think. We have a lot of things we want to do. Now, 40 years later, I'm thinking, boy, it'd be nice if Jesus came back. So let's just encourage ourselves with 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. If God is our Heavenly Father, just like when we were small, I look forward, my dad worked in construction, I look forward to my dad coming home. And sometimes he was gone all week, and me and Mom were on the farm. And I always look forward to my dad coming home. If God is our Heavenly Father, we're looking forward for Jesus to come, our Savior who paid our debt. We're looking forward. We're getting excited. When more troubles abound, we should be getting excited because of what it says here. Comfort one another with these words. He's coming. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you once again for this morning. We thank you for your word where we can get great comfort from. Because of you, Lord, and your Holy Spirit that you sent us, you promised the disciples, you said, when you go to heaven, you will send a comforter that will teach us all things and that comforts us. And so this morning, Lord, may we be comforted and encouraged by your word. I pray, Lord, as we go forth from here, that we can think of these things, meditate on these things, and be encouraged and have a blessed week with our relationship with you. Pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. We have a couple that wants to be accepted as members in the church, and so I will ask Brother Calvin to do that at this time.
Thank you. First, I want to say, Brother Dick, thank you for bringing that message, and I could make some comments on it, but I know that if I make a comment, something has struck me. God touched you in a different way, and I don't want to take that away from you. But we can do one thing, and that's praise God for a message that has touched us this morning. So thank you so much for sharing and for your family being here by his side. Thank you for being here. This morning, we have a couple that have asked to be accepted as members of the Sommerfeld Conference. Their names are John and Nancy Voth of Kleefeld. And they have been recommended by Deacon Jake Penner and Reverend John Schrader. And seeing that nobody has opposed their acceptance, I would please I'd like to ask John and Nancy to please rise for a few questions. Three questions. First of all, to both of you, do you confess to be born again believers, and have you been baptized upon confession of your faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Please answer. Do you have love for the Lord, for the Word of God, and believe it to be the absolute truth? Please answer. Do you, by the grace of God, commit yourselves to serve in love and to live in peace and harmony in the Church of Jesus Christ? Please answer. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And that verse always means a lot to me. When we just look at the verse before that, John 3, or 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, Paul just talks about a foundation that he's laid to the Corinthians, but then he lays it out after that. He says there is one main foundation you need to build upon, and that's Jesus Christ. And John and Nancy, having known you for a number of years, we sense that that is what you have. You have that desire, and we are, as a church, we are joyful to accept you as members, so I will come down now and accept you as members.
Thank you. I would also want to bid you a hearty welcome, and yeah, I've known John and since we came to church here. We went to church, came to church here for 18 years, now it's 21 years already going to be in May that we've moved, so yeah. I just noticed something here before we go to prayer. I had kind of looked at the bulletin, but I hadn't. It's in blue here, and I hadn't even read it. But I can guarantee you nobody phoned me to ask what the title, what my theme was, but it says, don't be afraid, just believe. If you don't believe the Holy Spirit, now you can. It's right here. Let's take this opportunity to go on our knees and worship the Lord and pray whatever he has put on our heart. We have prayed in the name of Jesus. We can be assured that he will hear us or has heard us. For a benediction, I would like to share with you a couple of verses that are always quite important to me. And it's found in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Actually, I'm going to start verse 19 to the end. And to know the love of God, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's from the Holy Spirit. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Thank you for coming. I'd like to just speak a blessing on the rest of your day. Remember that God is there. He's watching. And he's waiting. And he just wants us to let our requests be known to him. He wants to answer us. Thank you. You are dismissed.